Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma Daf Pei. We begin on the very last line, last words of Ayin Tes Amid Beis with the words Tanya Rebbe Yomer. So the Braisa tells us that Rebbe says Kol Hashir Return to Pei Amud Aleph. Kol Hashirim Kulam Bechizayis. All Shirim in the Torah that deal with food, as Rashi says Ha'amorim Ba'ochlin. Anything dealing with eating, normally the Shir is a Chizayis. Kol Hashirim Kulam Bechizayis, with the exception Chutz Mitumas Ochlin. In regards to eating any type of food, the shirim are normally a kezayis, but when it comes to tumas ochlin, which is a famous machlokas between Rashi and his grandchildren, the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam, and you can see this in the Tosos Yishonim, Lefi Pirish Rashi, the top Tosos Yishonim here, it says, Lefi Pirish Rashi, Shirogil Leforis. Throughout Shas, he says that this shear that we're going to say by Tumas Ochlin is different than a Kezayis, so it's a Kebetza, everybody agrees it's a Kebetza, but what's it a Kebetza for? So according to Rashi, he's Rogil Leforis, the Letame Acherim Mayre. This is the shear that you require in order to be able to transmit Tumah to something else. You need to have the size of a Kebetza in order to transmit Tumah. Here too, letami achem. It's referring to how much of a shear do you need to transmit tuma to something else. However, according to his grandchildren, Ulafirish Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Yaakov, the Rabbeinu Yaakov is Rabbeinu Tam, the Ma'ariv betumas atzman. That can it accept tuma? You need to have the size of a kebetza in order to be able to accept tuma. So to over here, Ma'ariv nami hocha letumas atzman, and it is about the size that you need in order to be able to accept tumah. If you are a size of a kebetza, you can accept tumah. If you're less than kebetza, you can't even accept tumah. So here the shear is different. Chutz b'tumas ochlin, sheshina hakosav b'meshmon, because the Torah wrote a different terminology, as we will see the words momentarily in the pasuk. It says, kolo ochel asher ye ochel. That's a strange lashon, and therefore, v'shinu chachom b'shurin, therefore, Chazal knew that that meant that because it used a funny lashon in terms of describing it, kol ochel asher yechel, as opposed to using a normal terminology of kol asher yechel. So therefore, it is coming to teach us v'shinu chacham b'shurim that it's a different shear than all the other ochlim which are kizayis. And the Gemara continues this brisa, uray ledover, and the proof of this is from Yom HaKippurim, where we also are mishana the lashon, as we'll see in a second, and therefore we are mishana the shear. So the Gemara says, "Mai shino hakosov b'mashmo." What in regards to Yom Kippur is there a difference in the language? So it says, it doesn't say you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. It says, "Mi lo se'uneh." It tells us a person is not allowed to go and remove the affliction, and therefore that's a stranger lashon than saying you shouldn't eat on Yom Kippur. And therefore, the shinui in the lashon. Therefore, umai shinu chachom b'shireh. What change did that result in the rabbis in the shear? So the shear is not a kezayis as well. It's a kikosevis, the kikosevis agasa that we've been discussing. So this is the proof to our din, the fact that it changes it by Yom Kippur and uses a different language to describe it, and that means it's a different shear. So too, in regards to the din of Tumas Ochlin, it changed the language, and therefore it changes the shear. And the Gemara says, why did you have to bring me a raya from Yom Kippur? Why didn't you just say, look at the change in the language by Tumas Ochlin, and therefore, that's the change in the shear. What was it necessary to bring a raya from Yom Kippur? My raya ledover Yom Kippurim. Why did you not learn it out from the din of Tumas Ochlin? Why did you have to bring me a raya from Yom Kippur? Because the Gemara says, Dimi Hosim, if you're going to learn it out from Tumas Ochlin, by the strange lashon, kol ochel asher yeyochel, so hav amino urcho dekrahu, I would have said, no, that was just being consistent, which says, kol amashke asher yishoseh, so therefore it says, kol ochel asher yeyochel, so you might have said that that was the normal, unusual, but normal language that was needed to mention by ochel, because it said an unusual language by mashke, so you wouldn't automatically know that that's the din, that if you're shinoi in the mashmos, so then you're mishana in the shir, so therefore it brings me a raya that that's true from Yom Kippur. Now, let's talk more about this Tumas Ochlin din. Again, Rashi says this is the amount of the size of the item to transmit Tumah, and his grandchildren, the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam, say that it's the amount that you can accept Tumah. Tumas Ochlin Kebetza. Now, this din of Tumas Ochlin, everybody agrees it's a Kebetza, either to transmit or to accept. Minolan, where do we get the idea that it's a Kebetza? So Amar Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Avo says, in the name of his Rabbi, Amar Rabbi Elazar, we'll see Rabbi Avo gives his own opinion in a moment, but Rabbi Avo says the name of his Rabbi, Rabbi Elazar, the Amar Kor, because the Pasuk says, Mikola Ochel Asher Yechel, that's what I just brought down, so that implies Ochel Haba machmas ochel. It's not just the ochel itself. There's a ochel, asher yechel, that implies it's something that comes from something else. What's an example of something that comes from something else? Veizeh, what would this be? Beitzas tarnegolus. This would be the egg of a chicken. And it comes from the ochel, the beitzah, comes from another ochel, which is the chicken. And therefore, that teaches us the shear of a kebeitzah. More questions. This is really why is this a beitza coming from a chicken? The emo gidi, maybe it's a little baby goat that comes from a mother goat, and maybe that's the shear. A little size of a baby goat would be the shear to either accept or transmit tumah. Shmuel says no, it's not called an ochel yet because when the little baby goat is born, it requires shchita, and therefore it's mechusa shchita. So it's not called an ochel until you do the shchita. As opposed to when an egg is laid, it's automatically considered an ochel from the moment that the egg is laid. Shmuel says, well, then let's look at a ben pekua, the ema ben pekua. Ben pekua is a very interesting thing. Ben pekua is a full-grown fetus, and a baby that is inside the mother cow or the mother goat or the sheep, but the mother was shechted, and the baby is therefore considered shechted because uber yerech emo, the fetus inside, the baby inside, growing inside the mother, is considered shechted. But this is a live-born child because they take this baby out from the mother, after the mother shechted, they do a cesarean section on it, and it's now taken out alive. Not really born, but it's taken out alive after the death of the mother, after the shechit of the mother. So this ben pekua, as it's called, is technically geshochtim. It's already shechted, even though it's walking around alive. And theoretically, you could go up to it and slice off a piece and barbecue it. And in fact, that's what, when it says that Yosef brought the bo ha-ra, when Yosef told on his brothers, so what he told Yaakov was that they were eating Evi Menachai, but what they were in fact eating was a ben pekua, and that's what he thought, they were doing something wrong, when technically, midaraisa, you got to go and eat the Evi Menachai. So maybe that's what it's referring to, that if you have a ben pekua, that's the shear. So if you have this gedi coming from its mother, it's a ben pekua, it's not mechusa shchita, and maybe that's the shear. So Gemara says, no, even there, ton kriya, at least midarabanan, you're obligated to go and take out the blood. And therefore, as Rashi says, koro umotzio es damo, you have to rip it open and take out the blood. So therefore, it's also lacking something, and therefore that can't be ocho min ha-ocha. In any event, Gemara says, okay, once you're telling me that it's an egg, let's assume it's an egg, but why a chicken egg? They mabetzas bar yochni. Maybe it's the egg of a bar yochni. A bar yochni is normally translated as something like an ostrich or a very, very large bird. In fact, as an agadita dealing with the Shamir, telling us how big the bar yochni was. So it actually says it's ov gadolhu. In any event, it's a very large bird, and its egg, obviously, is going to be very large also. So the size of a kebetza is not what we call a kebetza. It's this huge kebetza of the bar yochni. So maybe that's what it means. It's much larger than the shear that we have as a betza. So Gemara tells us a famous rule. Tofasta meruba, lo tofasta. Tofasta mua, tofasta. When you go and have a amount, so if the amount could be a larger or a smaller amount, so then if you take the larger amount, then who says you're right? If you take the smaller amount, you're definitely at least going to fulfill what the Pasuk says. That's why we always say, miyut rabim shtayim. When the Pasuk tells us that you need to take a rabim number, a larger than one number, but it doesn't tell us how many, so we always say two, because two is certainly going to fulfill the requirement of the plural number, but three may be too much, four may be too much. So that's what we call this famous principle we've mentioned numerous times, tofasta meruba. If you take a larger number than the minimum, so then lo tofasta. Who says that you're right? You didn't grab properly. However, tofasta muat, if you take the smallest number possible to fulfill the requirement of the pasuk, so then you certainly can't be wrong, because you are fulfilling the pasuk. The pasuk said you have to take a plural number, so two is a plural number. And therefore, tofasta mua, tofasta. If you take the smaller number, you're always going to be correct. So therefore, if the choice is taking the larger bar yuchni or the smaller chicken, so mistama, the chicken is the right shear. Because the bar yuchni, who says that that's the right shear? Gemara says, wait a second, if that's your rationale, so then you got even a bigger problem. So then there are chicken that lay medium-sized eggs, there are birds that have even smaller eggs than chickens. So maybe the ema beyasa the tziporta. A tziporta is a very small bird, maybe something like a hummingbird, and this tziporta lays very, very small eggs. So therefore, maybe we're dealing with the egg of a tziporta, which would be a much smaller shear. The zutar tuva, that's the girsa that we have over here. Rashi tells us that we shouldn't be goris towards the zutar tuva, albeit in the Gemara elsewhere where this is found, he is goris it. In any event, the question is a very good question, very strong question, and this really slugs up Rabbi Avo in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Elazar, because who says that it's talking about a beitza of a tarnagolis? If you're telling me tefasta mu'a lo tefasta, tefasta mu'a tefasta, so then be tofes the smallest egg, which is the beis of the tziparta. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Avo on his own, therefore gave a different teretz. Rabbi Avo, the day, Omar, he himself said, no, this is the reason, because the pasuk says, Mikola ochel sher yeochel, which is again that strange lashon, which implies ochel shato ochlo bevasachas. It implies it's a food that you can put in your mouth all at the same time. And what is the largest amount of food that can fit into your mouth at one time? That is v'shiru chachamim, ein beis habliya. The rabbis calculated out that the mouth can hold at one time, machzich yosem beitzas tarnagolas. It can only hold the amount of a beitzas tarnagolas. You could put more than a beitzas tziparta in there. You can't put a beitzas yochni in there. And since we're saying this is an ochel that comes from an ochel, that his Rebbe did say, Rebbe Elazar did say that, but Rebbe Avo therefore derives that because you can't learn it out from the idea that it's tofasta maruba, lo tofasta, you can't take it that way to be the beitzas tarnagolas, but the rabbis said that it's also meaning in the pasuk, ochel sher yochel means it has to be eaten at basachas, and the largest egg that you can eat at basachas, that is the beitzas tarnagolas. And that's why that is the shear for Tumas Oakland. Now, the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Elazar, since we had this first statement that Rabbi Elazar said in the name of Rabbi Elazar, we have another statement that Rabbi Elazar said, Am Rabbi Elazar, Hochel Chalev Bisman Hazeh, Tzorech Sheyichtu Loshir. He said that if a person eats Chalev nowadays, when Nebuch, we don't have the base of Begdish, Meher Yemenu should be rebuilt, and then if a person by accident ate Chalev, so he has to bring a carbon chattas. So therefore, a person should write down nowadays, I owe a carbon chattas. But he says, don't write it down. He says, don't write down that you owe carbon chattas, but write down how much you ate. And this way, we'll find out when the Beis HaMikdash will be built, Meher B'Yemeinu today. So we'll find out if a person ate chalev by accident, so how much chalev did he eat? Was it the shear to bring a carbon chattas? Because Shemo Yovu based in Acher, because maybe a later based in is going to come, the day the Beis HaMikdash will be built, all these people are going to come saying, I ate this much, I ate that much, B'yarbe, B'shiurb, and they're going to increase the amount that you have to have eaten of chalev in order to go and bring a carbon chattas. Now, what exactly does this mean? My yarbe bishurim. What do you mean that they're going to increase the amount that you have to eat in order to have to bring a chattas? In name of, you're going to tell me that it means the mechayve carbon akizayis kota, that right now the Beis Din says that you have to go bring a carbon on even a small kizayis. Normally the din is that it should be a benoni, so they're going to go and say no. The shear isn't a Zayis Beinoni, but it's actually a Zayis Katan. So then, Vatanya, we learn in the Braisa, if they're going to go and say that the shear, instead of being 1.0, is really 0.8, so then the Pasuk tells us, Asher lo seyoseno bishkoga v'yoshem. In order for a person to bring a Chattas, he has to have done a sin by accident, bishkoga. And therefore, he can't have done it on purpose. But it has to be bishkoga, means hashov midioso. Maybe carbon al shigigoso, but lo shav midioso, ain't maybe carbon al shigigoso. What does that mean? That a person has to have known that he did something wrong, and only because he forgot, he made a shkaga, so he did it by accident. So, but he had to know the din. He has to say, oh, the din is 1.0 of a kizayis, the old middle-sized kizayis. Oh, that's the shear. And then he forgets, or he doesn't realize that he ate chalev, then he's chayev chattas. But if he thinks the shear is 1.0, and in fact, he only eats 0.8. So then he's not chayev achatos because he didn't eat the shear. In his mind, the shear was 1.0 and he only ate 0.8. So if by accident he ate 0.8, so even if he'd known he ate 0.8, he wouldn't have to bring carbon achatos. So therefore, how could it possibly be that you're telling me that inem of the mechayev carbon akizayis katan, that the rabbis changed it around and said it's not a kizayis beinoni 1.0, but it's actually a kizayis katan, which is 0.8, let's say. So then he wouldn't be chayev achatos. So that can't be it. Now, this is a little bit strange because this wouldn't be called marbe b'shirim, and the Gemara will ask this question in a moment. But that's not the answer. So it's not that the rabbis will say that the shir went from 1.0 to 0.8. Ella, what must it be when it says yarbe b'shirim? Ella, dolo mechayve karbon adika kizayis godo. Maybe they're going to come along and say, no, that the shir is actually 1.2. It's actually a large zayis. So this person ate 1.0. And if the shear is actually 1.2, so then he will not be chayev achatos, because he'll write down, I only ate 1.0. And maybe the rabbis will say, no, that's actually technically not enough that you have to bring a korban chatas. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar is saying, don't write down that you have to bring a korban chatas because maybe the shear will have been too small and you actually didn't eat enough to bring a korban chatas. And then you'll be bringing chulin b'azara. You'll be bringing something that you weren't obligated to bring a korban chatas. So don't write down I owe a chatas. Write down I ate 1.0. And then on the day that the base of English rebuilt and you go to ask the rabbis, what was the shear? If it's 1.0, then you're achayev a korban chatas. But maybe Yarbe Bishurim, they'll say the shear is actually larger, and you'll be potter for bringing korban chatas because you didn't eat an adequate shear. That is what Rabbi Elazar is telling us. Now, as a moment ago I just said, if the shear was 1.0 and they changed it to 0.8, why are we calling that Marbe Bishurim? So the Gemara now questions that. We rejected that because you technically wouldn't be chayav a korban chatas. As we said, you have to have the knowledge that that was the shear, and then you just forgot, shogach. So here, you had the knowledge the shear was 1.0, but if the shear was changed to 0.8, you didn't have the knowledge and you wouldn't be chayav korban chatas. But why would you call that marbe b'shurim? Ulamai, the solik adai teme kara, the mechayav korban akizai is kotan. According to the first opinion, it says if you go from 1.0 to 0.8, you would be chayav korban chatas because of marbe b'shurim. That's a strange language. Ulamai yarbe b'shurim. It was memayit b'shurim. So why did they use the terminology? What was the question of thinking when he said maybe that's what it means? My yarbe b'shurim. So Gemara says, no, Shema Yarbe B'Korbanos Machmas Shurin. What that interpretation would have been was, maybe you're going to have to bring more Korbanos. Right now, you only ate 0.8. So if the shear was 1.0, you wouldn't be bringing Korbanos. So it would be Marbe B'Korbanos, because now even eating 0.8 would be requirement to bring a Korban because of the lower shear. That's what it meant. Yarbe B'Shurin means Yarbe B'Korbanos Machmas Shurin. Okay, that explains at least the Havamina, but that was incorrect because that wouldn't be chayav korban chatas in that situation. Now Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yochanan." Rav Yochanan tells us, "Shiurin the onshin, both the size of the obligation that you're not allowed to do, the din that we're dealing with, the shear of that, and the punishment, the onshin, are all halacha l'Moshe b'Sinai. These are things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. They're not befeirish dinim that we darshan out in the Torah." Gemara says, "Really, onshin michtav ksivi." The punishments are written down in the Torah. Yachayv Chatos, Yachayv Kores. They're written down beferish in the Torah. What do you mean onshin aren't written down in the Torah? He said, yeah. Elo Hochi Korah. This is what Rabbi Yochanan said. Now, we're not goris the words Amar Rabbi Yochanan. I don't think it's wrong, but the Mesoras Hashas says that we shouldn't be goris it. In any event, what Rabbi Yochanan said was, Shiurim shel onshin, halach l'moshe misinai. The shear, in order to be chayav in the onish that the Torah tells us, the shear isn't beforish, that is halach l'moshe misinai. The onshin are mafurish, but the shear of the onshin, that is not mafurish. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan meant when he said, the shiurim shel onshin are halach l'moshe misinai. And we have a brisa in support of what Rabbi Yochanan said. Tarinam Yochi, the brisa tells us, Shiurim shel onshin, halacha l'moshe misinai. It says b'feirish that the shiurim of the onshin are halacha l'moshe misinai. That's the Tanakhama the brisa. Achayrim omrim. Achayrim is often referring to Rav Meir, not always, but the Achayrim say that this was set up not as halacha l'moshe misinai, but it was set up by the Beis Din shel Yavetz. Now, who is the Yavetz? Now, in the Achronim world, the Yavetz is Rav Yaakov Emden, Yaakov Ben Tzvi. That's the Yavetz. But in the Tanoic world, pre the Achronim, obviously. So then the Yavetz is always described over here as Osniel ben Kenaz. And that's based upon the Gemara in Tmuru, which explains why he's called the Yavetz. In any event, there's a din of these Shiurim. It was Musaking by the Beis Din of Osniel ben Kenaz. Now, Gemara says, wait a second. How can great people, as great as the Yavetz, be telling us a din in the Torah? Bachsiv, the Pasuk tells us, Eila Mitzvah is only what Moshe Rabbeinu gave us on Har Sinai, all considered the mitzvos b'daraisa. Shein Navi, even a Navi, even somebody as great as Osniel ben Kenaz, ain't a Rasha l'chadish, dove meyata. He can't make up any dinim. You can have a horas, shah, a one-time special dispensation, like Eliyahu Bahar HaKarmel, but there is no Navi that can come along and give us new dinim. The Torah is only from Moshe Rabbeinu. So how could Osniel ben Kenaz, as great as he was, be misakin these shiurim? So Gemara says, no. Elo shechachum. Moshe Rabbeinu gave them to us. And then when Moshe Rabbeinu died, it says that certain halachas were lost, 3,000 halachas were lost. And Osniel ben Kenaz came along, he and his Beis Din, the Chozru v'Yisodim. They were able to figure them out, they were able to remember them. And it's not that he set it up, it's not that the Beis Din of the Yavetz was misaking them, not Tiknum, but was Chozer. They returned them and brought them back, Chozru v'Yisodim. Now, according to the next part of the Mishnah, we talked about the liquids. We said that on Yom Kippur, a person is going to be over the Isser and have to bring a carbon if he did this by accident, or Chas Shom B'chayiv Karis, if he eats or drinks Hashosim Melo Lugmav, if he has a Melo Lugmav. Some of Yehuda Mishmur, Yehuda Mishmur tells us, Lo Melo Lugmav Mamish, it doesn't really mean both cheeks being filled up, as we said many times, Elokol She'ilu Yisalkenu Litzad Echad. It's really one half of your cheek. It's one side. And that looks, when you're looking at it from one side, that the entire cheeks are filled. But it's really only one side that's filled up. That's called a below lugmav. It's actually yeirah kimelo lugmav. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, defining what below lugmav means. More questions and says, wait a second, but we learned it on Mishnah, below lugmav. How can you come and say it means yeirah kimelo lugmav? So where it says, you're right, Ema kimelo lugmav. Our Mishnah should have said, like a melo lugmav. And what does that mean? That means, yeira kimelo lugmav. In other words, that's what Rehu Damishmul says, is the girsa of our Mishnah. More questions is, Meisvei, wait a second, there's a Braisa that seems to disagree with this. The Braisa says, kama yishte v'chayev. In order for a person to be chayev karmachatos, in order for a person to rachmon of Islam be chayev karmes, how much does he have to drink on Yom Kippur? What is the shear? So Beishami Omrim Revi'is. Beishami says it's the general rule. Normally, by eating, it's a kezayis, and by drinking, it's a revi'is. So Beishami says over here, too, it's a revi'is. Beishami disagrees. Beishami Omrim Melo Lugmav. They say it's a Melo Lugmav. Now that both cheekfuls, and along comes Rabbi Yehuda. This is the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. And he says, Omrim Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. He says in the name of the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, it means Ki Melo Lugmav. This sounds very, very much like the shear that Rabbi Yehuda the Amora said in the name of Shmuel. And then it says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Miseira, another Rabbi Yehuda, different Rabbi Yehuda, Tana, says, Omer Kidei Gemiyah. It means that what you can swallow in one swallow, so that is considered the shear that removes the inui from a person, and that would be the shear that you'd be over for drinking on Yom Kippur. So we have these four shittas over here, Beisil, Beishamai, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda in the name of the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, and the other Tana Rabbi Yehuda ben Miseira. Each of them gave four different shiurim. Now, the halacha is normally like Beis Hillel, so it should be Melo Lugmav and not Kimelo Lugmav. That's the kasha on Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. How do you interpret our Mishnah as being Kimelo Lugmav? It should follow the opinion of Beis Hillel. There should be Melo Lugmav, a real full, both cheekfuls. So the Gemara says, well, just like we interpreted our Mishnah, which said Melo Lugmav to be Kimelo Lugmav, so then Mi Adifa Mi Masnisin. Why are you saying this Braisa should be interpreted any differently than Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel interpreted our Mishnah? Just like Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel interpreted our Mishnah as being Melo Lugmav, meaning Ke Melo Lugmav, the Okimna Kidei Sheyira, like a Melo Lugmav, meaning one side, Hochanami. So too, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel would say that the Braisa's opinion of Beis Hillel is Hochanami Kidei Sheyira, Kimelo Lugmav. And that's the Shita of Beis Hillel, which our Mishnah follows. So therefore, there's no contradiction between saying we follow Beis Hillel's opinion and we follow our Mishnah as being a Kimelo Lugmav Yehira, Ki Melo Lugmav. But Gemara says, wait a second. If you're telling me that Beis Shammai is saying it's Kimelo Lugmav, that was the Shita that Rabbi Yehuda the Tana said in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. Yehochi, Hein Rabbi Eliezer. So then Beis Hillel and Rabbi Eliezer are saying the same thing, but there were clearly two separate Shitas. It doesn't say they were saying the same thing. So Gemara says, no, there's a slight difference between Beis Hillel's opinion of Yehira Kimelo Lugmav and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer's opinion of Yehira Kimelo Lugmav. Whether it's pressured or filled up, as Rashi points out over here in the Rashi, three lines in the bottom, Hogi Garcia, Ika Benayu Kimelo Lugmav Dochuk, Leveis Hillel, Ba'inon, Kideshi, Salkenul, Tzadechov, Yehira Kimelo Lugmav, Berevach. This is a much more generous type of a Melo Lugmav. Or Rabbi Lezer, Kimelo Lugmav Dochuk, it's a full pressured and totally filled up below Lugmav. So the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer is a little bit larger than the Shita of Beis Hillel, and therefore there is a difference in there. Four Shitas in the Spraisa, close, but no cigar. Beis Hillel is not the same Shita as Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rabbi Eliezer, and our Mishnah follows the opinion of Beis Hillel, Kimelo Lugmav Yehira, Kimelo Lugmav, but not Dochuk, not fully pressured, not full to the capacity, but a slightly more expansive, which means a slightly smaller shear of Melo Lugmav. Maskele Roshai says, wait a second, if that's true, so wait a second, this is certainly going to be, whether you really hold like it's Beis Hillel, or it's Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, this is going to be a shear that is smaller than a revius, because of a low lugmav is roughly about a half of a revius. Again, there are different opinions as to whether it's a little bit more than a half a revius, but it's certainly smaller than a revius. So a low lugmav, whether it's like Rabbi Huda that's more expansive, Bereva, or like Rabbi Eliezer that's dochak, it's a full pressured Malo Lugmav, it's going to be a shear that is smaller than Beis Shammai's revius. Now, this is a cooler to say a larger shear because you're not chayav if you drink a Malo Lugmav according to Beis Shammai. You need to drink the full revius in order to be chayav according to Beis Shammai. So therefore, Beis Shammai is more mekel here than Beis Hillel. So Gemara says, Maskel Roshaya im Kain, Havalei Mikule Beis Shammai Umichumi Beis Hillel. Why is this not listed in the famous Mishnayis in Edios, where it discusses all of the kulas of Beis Shammai over Beis Hillel? There are 6, and then there's another 18. There are all sorts of different calculations of how many you get up to, but this isn't mentioned over there. Now, this would be an example where Beis Shammai is more mekel than Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says you have to drink a full revius in order to be chayiv a karban, and Beis Hillel will say, no, you drink a half a revius, or somewhat smaller than a revius, and you chayiv a karban. So why isn't this listed amongst the chumros of Beis Hillel versus Beis Shammai? This should be listed over there, and it's not. This should be the Kule Beis Shammai and Michumre Beis Hillel. Someone says, no. Amale, they responded to Rav Hoshaya, returned to Pei Omud Beis with the following understanding. Ki Itshal, when this question was raised, this price was asked, how much is the shear of a Malo Lugmav? They were dealing with the Og Melech HaBoshan Itshal, a huge person. Og Melech HaBoshan is the classical example we have of a giant. So, therefore, a giant's cheekful is going to be much more than a revius. An average person's cheekful is much less than a revius. But a giant's cheekful, an Og Melech HaBoshan cheekful, and that's who the question was being asked. What is the shear? And that's why we had those 4 opinions. So, Og Melech HaBoshan itchel, da'avule Beis Shammai l'chumra here. Beis Shammai is l'chumra. They say you only need to drink a revius. And Og Melech HaBoshan, Beis Shammai, says is way, way, way over the shear of the chiyav, which is a revius. And Beis Hillel says, no, it's 20 revius in. Og Melech HaBoshan's cheekful is 20 revius in. That's the shear. So therefore, this is actually Mikule Beis Hillel and Michumre Beis Shammai. Nothing unusual about that, and no reason to list it in the Mishnayis in Edios. Gemara says, wait a second. Maskev lo Rabbi Zeira. Zeira says, is that really true? By Achila, we said that we don't make a distinction between large people and small people. We said everybody is Kikosevas Agasa. So why by Achila do we not make a distinction? And yet you're telling me by Shasiya we do. That's his question. Maishno Achila de Kochad Bechad Bekikosoves, or Maishno Shasiya de Kochad Bechad Bididei. Why are you saying that by eating the shear for Og Melech HaBoshan is a Kikosevas Agasa, and the shear for Tiny Tim is a Kigasa? Kosevas Sagasa. And for a small person, a large person, a medium-sized person, it's Kosevas Sagasa. One shear across the board for Achila. And yet by Shasiya, you go by the individual. Tiny Tim will have a very small shear. Average person will have the shear of an average person. And Og Melech HaBoshan has this huge shear. How come by Achila we don't make such a distinction? And by Shasiya we do. After all, it's based upon the same principle that what is the shear that's needed to remove affliction? So shouldn't it be either the same for all people, or if it's going to be different for all people, there should be no difference between Achila and Shasiya. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye. Abaye says to Rav Zeira, no, there is a difference between eating and drinking. And that the rabbis understood, Kim Lehu Rabbanon, the rabbis understood that by eating, Bechichoseves, Debohochi, Miyasva Daite, in regards to eating, everybody is going to remove their affliction if they eat a Kosevas Agas, even Og Melech HaBoshan. But leading less than a Kosevas Agasa is not going to remove your affliction, even if you're Tiny Tim, even if you're a small person. It's just too small an amount to remove the affliction that you have by not eating, and therefore you aren't going to be chayav a karmachatas, for example, in that situation. But in regards to Shasiya, in regards to drinking, b'shasiya, b'didei miyasudaite, b'dechavre lo miyasudaite. Everybody is different. In regards to drinking, Og Melech HaBoshan, if he drinks a revius, it's going to do nothing for him. He's still going to be afflicted. Whereas a smaller person, if he drinks a half a revius, is going to remove his affliction. And a medium-sized person, if he drinks a revius. So in regards to drinking, the amount that's miyasudaite, the amount that removes the affliction, will be dependent upon the size of the person. As opposed to eating, everybody is going to remove the affliction by eating a Kosevas Agasa. More questions this. Rabbi Zeira was not happy with this teretz that Abaye gave to him on his question. So Rabbi Zeira throws back at Abaye, Maskelo Rabbi Zeira, really? The Chol Olam Kulo, the Kosevas Agasa? Og Melech HaBoshan, the Kosevas Agasa also? really tiny Tim, a little small guy. So he eats a kusheva cigar and says, oh, Baruch Hashem, I'm not starved anymore. And Og Melech HaBoshan is going to be satisfied with that little bit also, that morsel to him. Og Melech HaBoshan eats a steak. He eats the entire cow. And you're telling me he's going to be happy with the size of a large fig? Doesn't make any sense. That's what Rizayu says. Abayi, your teretz doesn't make any sense. Why? If you're telling me by Shasiya, it's dependent upon the person. So by Achil, it's also dependent upon the person. So Abayi says, no, that's incorrect. Amalei Abayi, you're partially right, but you're not fully right. Amalei Abayi, Abayi says back to Rabbi Zeira, Kimlu Rabban, and the rabbis understood that Belhochi Miyasva Daite, by eating a certain amount of food, every person's going to have some affliction removed. It puts a taste in your mouth. It gives you a sense that you ate something, and therefore, everybody, even Og Melech HaBoshan, will get some sort of a removal of the affliction by eating a koseva sagasa. And a very small person, if he eats less than a koseva sagasa, it won't give him any sense of satisfaction at all. He'll still feel hungry. So therefore, batsu mihochi lo miyas v'dayte. However, we're not stupid. We're not going to not take into account that Og Melech HaBoshan is huge and Tiny Tim is a little guy. So even though we say that everybody gets some miyas v'dayte, the amount of miyas v'dayte certainly will be different. Miu kuliyama tuva for Og Melech HaBoshan purta. Everybody else, smaller people, when they eat a kusheva segasa, get more of a sense of removal of the affliction. And while Og Melech HaBoshan does get a sense of the removal of affliction, he'll obviously get less of a sense of the removal of affliction, but will still get some sense of the removal of affliction. That's why, in regards to Achila, Abayi says everybody has the same sense of some removal of the affliction, and therefore the shiur is for everybody, it's koseva sagasa, albeit, yes, Og Melech HaBoshan will get less of a sense of removal of the affliction than Tiny Tim, but both get some sense, and therefore the shiur for Achila is the same across the board. Again, Rav Zeira is not fully satisfied. Maskel Rav Zeira. What about then Basar Shomein v'choseves and Lulav v'Gefanim v'choseves? So then, you're telling me that all foods provide the same amount of removal of affliction? If a guy eats a nice steak, a fatty steak, and he gets a certain level of satisfaction from that, and then he eats, or to eat instead, Lulav v'Gefanim, he would eat the branches of the grapevine. That's also going to give him a certain amount of satisfaction, regardless of the amount that you eat. So a kosevis of the most delicious food versus a kosevis of the least delicious food, are they both miyasa daita the same? According to you, yes. That doesn't make any sense, Rosary says. And again, Abayi says it makes perfectly good sense. I'm only Abayi. No. Again, Kim Lahula Rabbana, the rabbis understood that yes, a kosevis agasa, this large figs amount, whether it's a delicious steak or it's something that's barely edible, the bahochi miyasa daita, yes, eating something will remove affliction. And it's all across the board the same, whether you're Og Melech HaBoshan or you're Tiny Tim. Whether it's a steak or whether it's Lulav v'Gefanim, it's going to give you a removal of affliction, and that's why the Shir is Koseves HaGasa across the board. However, Batzei Mihochi, Lo Miyas V'Dayte, and less than it's Koseves HaGasa, even if it's a steak, is not going to remove any affliction whatsoever. But yes, we agree with you, Reb Zeira, but that's not the important factor, that there are differences in the amount of affliction that it removes once it removes the affliction. So, Miu, Basu, Shomei, Tuva. Yeah, the guy's going to feel a lot better after having a Koseves Agasa of a steak than he would have Lulali Gufanim. Miu, Basu, Shomei, Tuva, Lulali Gufanim, Purta, but both of them remove affliction. Granted, it will remove more of the affliction, but you need a Koseves Agasa to remove affliction across the board. And even a steak, if it's less than a koseva sagasa, will not remove affliction. But yes, if you eat a koseva sagasa of a steak versus a koseva sagasa of lulali v'gefanim, you'll get more pleasure and more removal of affliction with the steak than with the lulali v'gefanim. But the bottom line is, you need to have a koseva sagasa. So that's how Abaya shoots down all the questions of Rabbi Zeira. Gemara says, now we have Rava asking a question. Maskel LaRava. So really, is there one shear across the board? Kizayis b'chdei achilas pras. V'koseves b'chdei achilas pras. We say that you have to eat the food in order to be over whatever issa you're talking about being over, that whatever the shear is, if it's a kizayis, a kabeitz, a koseves, a gasa, it has to be eaten within the shear of a kidei achilas pras. Kidei achilas pras is the amount of time a pras is a part of a meal. So it's eating a half a loaf of bread, let's say, and this bread has to be eaten within a certain period of time. Again, it's a poskim discussed somewhere between 2 and 9 minutes. It's the amount of food that's eaten of a certain type of wheat bread that's eaten with liftan in a certain reclining position, the normal way of eating, and that is the shear of a kedei achilas pras. So are you telling me that all of these shiurim, they're all within the shear of a kedei achilas pras, whether it's a kezayis, whether it's a kebetza, whether it's a kusemis agasa? They're all the same, achilas pras? That doesn't make any sense. Rava says, how can they all be within the share of achilas pras? Shmuel says, Amalei Abaya. Again, Abaya responds to Rava here, before he responded to Rezeva. Abaya says, no, kim l'rabbanan. Again, the rabbis understood. They had a Kabbalah. The b'hochi miyas v'dayte. Again, eating a kosevas agasa in the share of a kedei achilas pras will remove the affliction from a person. And therefore, that is the share of miyas v'dayte. But the tvei, if you were to have a longer period of time, bitvemi hochi, lo miyas v'dayte. If you were to eat it over a longer period of time, then you won't get this removal of affliction. So let's say this year is 4 minutes. So if you eat the kusevas agasa within 4 minutes of time, so then you will have a removal of the affliction. But if you eat it within a 20-minute period of time, even though you ate the same kusevas agasa, that will not remove the affliction. Again, Rava asks another question to Abaye. Maskif lo Rava. Rava says, wait a second. Are you telling me the shear is the same? Bechoseves, bechdei achilas pras, and chatzi pras bechdei achilas pras. Now, the din of chatzi pras is a din of tumah. The person's body becomes tumah if he eats something that's tumah. And here you have to have the full chatzi pras that you have to eat bechdei achilas pras. So again, are you telling me, Rava says, that all of these shiurim in terms of the time span are all the same? A kezayis, kusevas agasa, a beitza, a chatzi pras. They're all bechdei achilas pras. Does that make any sense? So here we don't have a bai answering. Here we have Rapapa answering him. Amalei Rapapa. Rapapa says, hanach letumas gviya. Leave this din out. You're right. This din is a much larger shiur. Chatzi pras. That's two kebeitzim. Right? Famous machlokes, Rashi and the Rambam. As to how much the pras is. So is it three beitzim or is it four beitzim? So let's assume it's the larger shear over here. It's two kebeitzim. So this din of two kebeitzim in the shear of a kedei achilas pras is not a din d'oraisa. Hanach l'tumas gevia. This is a din d'rabbanon. And therefore the lav d'oraisa, and therefore the rabbis will make it and said, yes, you have to eat this entire amount in the kedei achilas pras in order for the person to be metame his body by eating a dover tamei. But it's a din d'rabbanon, and therefore you can't bring me any rice from it. Really? Gemara says, is it din the rabbanon or me or Rabbi Papa Hachi? How can Rabbi Papa say this? Well, Ksid, the pasuk tells us, "Velosi tamu bahem v'nit meisem bam." Right? We have in Shmini, the end of Shmini, it tells us that the shear is over here, and Rabbi Papa was the one that said this. Rabbi Papa, mikan she tumas giviyo deraisa, that this shear of eating to make your body tummy is a din deraisa. So how can you tell me Rabbi Papa was the one that said that it's lav deraisa? He's in fact the one that says it's the din deraisa. So Gemara says, no, when Rav Papa made this drasha on the pasuk, it really was, he held the din de Rabbanan, mi de Rabbanan. However, Ukra, this pasuk that he brought down, velosi tamu behem, in his base and bam, is an asmachta bi'alma. This pasuk is an allusion to his din that the rabbis made up, that if a person eats a certain amount of tumah, they don't want the person handling and being involved in this tumah. So they said, if you eat this much of it, you're going to become tummy itself. That will put in a harchaka, that will put in additional safeguard that a person won't become tamei. But this din is only a din derabbanan, and this pasuk is an asmachta. Now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Kol ochlin, if you eat different types of food, they will combine together to make the shear of a kosevas agasa." So Amar Papa, Papa tells us, "Ochal umtsa, umtsa is like steak. Umtsa is a piece of meat, and you have salt on it, a milcha, and the steak was 0.9 of a kosevas agasa, and the 0.1 of salt on it makes it to the total of 1.0 kosevas agasa mitzdarit. We do combine the steak with the salt. The afal gav the lavachili, even though salt by itself is not considered a food, but when you put salt on a steak, it can come to make the shear, given the ochle inshe mitzdarfin, since this is the normal way of eating, and now you've eaten the shear of a kosevas agasa, albeit some of it wasn't normally something that you would call ochlin. The salt by itself is not ochlin, but when you combine it with the steak, it is called ochlin. Similarly, Omar Ish Lakish, similar idea, tzir. Now Rashi elsewhere has two pshatim with tzir. Tzir is normally fish brine, but sometimes it could also mean the vegetable juice. So whichever one this is, that tzir is either the fish brine or the vegetable juice, shal gabayerik, that's on top of the vegetable, on Yom Kippur, you would combine it. Normally, tzir would be a drink. It would be a liquid. The vegetable juice would be a liquid. And you don't combine, as we said in our Mishnah, liquids and solids. We don't combine ochlin and mashkin to make the shear. But here, even though it's tzir, whatever it is, the fish brine or this vegetable juice is a liquid, when it's on the yerek, shagabe a yerek, it is combining to make the shear of koseves agasim. It's directly koseves biyom kippurim. It is considered an ochel in this situation. So Gemara says, Pshita, what's Reish Lakish coming to teach us? Once we know this din, that all different types of food are combining, so the tzir is a food, we're considering it, and therefore, of course, it combines with the yerek. Gemara says, no, you might not have thought that it was a food. I might have said that the tzir is a mashkehu, and it doesn't combine. So therefore, the chiddush of Reish Lakish is komash v'lad. He's teaching us the following. Something that comes and accompanies the food, it's eaten with the food, and it allows the food to be eaten, that makes it into an ochel, even though it technically, physically, by physical properties, is a liquid. Mark continues and says, "I'm Reish Lakish." Another thing Reish Lakish tells us: "Ha'ochel achilas gasa biyom kippurim poter." If a person eats what we call achilas gasa falls into two categories. It's an extra amount of eating above and beyond what's normal, and then you have that's one level of achilas gasa, and then you have the level of achilas gasa that's actually a deleterious type of eating. You're so famished, like you're force feeding. So that's also called achilas gasa. So the two types of achilas gasa. So Reish Lakish tells us that ochel achilas gasa biyom kippurim is potter. If you eat what is called an achilas gasa, so that is considered a non-normal eating, and therefore it's not technically eating on Yom Kippur, and therefore you're going to be potter. My time, or why? So the Gemara says, Asher lo su'unexiv. The pasuk tells us that you're removing the affliction. And here, when you're eating achilas gasa, you're not removing the affliction. Prat lamazik, you're actually making yourself harmed. It's dangerous to do what you're doing, and therefore prat lamazik, as opposed to somebody who's hurting himself, that's not called eating on Yom Kippur. So according to this, the Tosfos Yeshanim over here explains that this is only talking about the type of achilas gasa, that's the force feeding that's beyond normal extra. So achilas gasa would be after you had a full meal and you're stuffed, and then they bring out the Viennese table, and you're like, okay, I can always find a little bit more room. That's called achilas gasa of one type. But if they bring out more food, and you say, well, it's free food, I'm going to just eat and eat and eat and eat, and that's mazik the person, is actually negative to that person, so then that's the achilas gasa that we're talking about. It's not going to be lo su'uneh. It's going to not remove affliction. Furthermore, Amar Rav Yirmiyah, Amar Reish Lakish. Rav Yirmiyah says the name of Reish Lakish. Zor shachal truma achilas gasa. We have a similar din. If a non-Kohen eats truma, of course, only a Kohen is allowed to eat truma. And if a non-Kohen, Zor, achal truma, but he eats it in achilas gasa, so again, this isn't considered normal eating of truma, and therefore, he only pays the principal, he doesn't pay the fifth. If a person by accident eats truma, so he has to pay the principal, and he also has to pay a fifth. Mishalim is a Karen, Vein Mishalim es hachomesh. Why? Again, the same idea. The pasuk says, ki yochal. It says that you have to eat the truma, and here, if you're eating an achilas gasa, it's mazik, prat lemazik, it excludes somebody who is actually hurting himself by eating. That's not called eating. Another statement the Rav Yirmiyah makes before he made it Reish Lakish, now he makes it Omer Rav Yirmiyah, Omer Rav Yochanan. He says the name of Rav Yochanan, Zohar, and we turn to Pei Aleph, Omer Aleph. If a non-Kohen eats Sa'orim, now you normally don't eat barley, that's not considered a human food, and to eat raw barley, that's what animals eat. So if a person who's a non-Kohen, Shekosi Sa'orim Shel Truma, eats raw barley of Truma, so that's also not called eating. Again, Mishalim Es HaKerem, Mishalim Es HaChomesh. He only pays for the principal, but he doesn't have to pay the Chomesh, because you only pay the Chomesh if you're eating. The pasuk says, Ki Yocha, you have to go and eat Truma by accident in order to pay the principal and the Chomesh. But if you just destroyed the truma, then prat lamazik, as opposed to a person that eats the sa'orim, so that's not called really eating truma, that's called destroying the truma, that's not called yochal, that's called mazik, and therefore you only pay the principal, but you don't pay the chomesh. With this, we conclude today's shir.